Welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast, featuring advice and interviews about athlete branding. Learn how marketing, public relations, and broadcasting can grow your brand. We also have special episodes to talk about recent news, events, and anything in the world of sports. The podcast is sponsored by Pliable, a versatile marketing, PR, and broadcasting company that identifies opportunities and creates tailored content for its clients. Now it's time to roll. Here's your host, Greg Glenn.
All right, thanks, and welcome here to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast, where we're always ready to roll. And I want to say thank you to all our loyal listeners tuning in. And if you're tuning in for the first time, welcome, and you've come to a great episode. In this episode, we're going to be talking about name, image, and likeness opportunities with a former college athlete, a field hockey player, and a good friend of mine. Back in the day, she was known as Erin McKay. She's now Erin Brown, and she was amazing when she was at Quinnipiac. Class of 2006, Erin would have been the perfect person for nil opportunities when we went to Quinnipiac together. She has an incredible personality and a smile that could light up a room. Her laugh is contagious, and she's from the great state of Massachusetts. Erin, welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast.
Greg, you are the kindest man ever. Thank you so much. So glad that we were able to connect on here, and thanks for having me on here. This is very cool.
Absolutely. And so one of the things that, you know, when we connected, obviously back at Quinnipiac, I thought it was really important to reconnect and share your story with the listeners, because I felt like when you attended Quinnipiac back in the 2000s, early 2000s, the recruiting process was different. The opportunities were different. There wasn't any talk of name, image, and likeness. But now, as you kind of look back, how do you think the recruiting process was different back then?
Oh, well, you just totally aged us. So, yeah, I mean, the recruiting process was like night and day compared to today. Back then, I started getting recruited in the late 90s, and I was the first student athlete in my family. So it was kind of, you know, figuring it out. There was no playbook. There was no one to help you. So my parents, it was kind of, you know, talking to people, word of mouth, talking to other parents. How did you help your child get recruited and into schools to play sports? So, you know, back then you would expose yourself as much as possible through club teams and summer camps, and obviously high school sports. And another way of reaching out was to establish videos. And you would literally take your family camcorder, put it on your shoulder, have somebody video you, and go through a skill session, and then maybe work in some shots from games that you were lucky enough to get on that video. And you would send those videos through the U.S. Postal Service with a note to figuring out how to, you know, what the address of a coach was, and hopefully it'll end up hitting their desk. It wasn't always guaranteed. And maybe you'll hear back from them, maybe you won't. It was kind of a crapshoot, to tell you the truth. It was no guarantee of getting in contact with coaches.
Yeah, yeah. And that today still actually, I think, is true, but in a totally different way, because they're so inundated now. Now it's the access is there. And so now it's how do you stand out? Because comparing what you talk about with a recruitment video, which, you know, YouTube wasn't even like that much of a thing, you know, like you couldn't just put it online. That's why you're talking about postal service. You're talking about VHS tapes. That was what it was like. And now so many athletes can do it. So many athletes can produce these videos. These parents are using cell phone cameras. They're on a tripod. It looks so much better. The access is better, but now they have to stand out. Right. So that's the next phase.
Oh yeah. The competition is even greater now. You know, these athletes are starting sports earlier. My kids started in kindergarten. I didn't start playing field hockey until the end of elementary school. So the skills are just that much better. Mm-hmm. Yep. You need to stand out somehow.
Yep, I agree. I completely agree. So let's talk about, obviously, the growth of the Quinnipiac. We talk about the growth of athletics and how it's changed since we obviously went to Quinnipiac. You know, I went back. I saw the turf fields earlier this year. I saw the stadium complex. I was just blown away at the growth over the last 20 years. I was wondering, do you still keep in touch with many of those women that played with you at Quinnipiac?
Oh, of course. Of course. Yes. I mean, we were like sisters, you know, 4 years, eat, sleep, and breathe the same sport. We live together. We just have so many fond memories. And, you know, it's been 20 years, as we said, and we all have kids now and married, and you're so busy in life. So we don't get together as often as we would wish to, but we're always texting. And we all try to, as many of us try to get to the annual alumni game or some type of alumni event every year. We're all over the Northeast, so it's not always doable for everybody. But, you know, I benefit from only being 2 hours from Quinnipiac. So I try to get there as much as my schedule will allow. We actually just got together this April, a bunch of us.
Oh,
yeah. It's great to see the girls.
I love hearing that, because that's one of the things I try to help athletes with, right? So you've built a network. When you're on a team like that, especially in college, where the college actually will help facilitate that kind of relationship by having alumni games, by bringing things back, it really is an opportunity. And maybe we didn't see it as much as we thought when we were there. And that's what I've tried to explain to a lot of these athletes, is embrace this moment, soak up these relationships, develop those bonds, because you never know where they're going to go.
Absolutely. You know, especially being a college student athlete, sometimes you're not as confident to go up to a former athlete that may be 10 years older than you, but maybe you're from neighboring towns and this person has crazy connections and you're interested in the field that she's in. Don't be afraid to reach out to that person. The worst that they're going to say is no. And the odds of that even happening are pretty much slim to none, because especially playing for the same team, going to the same school, people always want to help each other.
Yeah, I've seen that at schools. I've seen it at Quinnipiac. I've seen it in my hometown. I think that that's such an important thing. It's almost like, you know, this membership card.
Absolutely.
That people will help you. They will help you big time.
Yes.
So that's cool. Talking about friendships and networking, what type of advice would you share with a current field hockey player or any college athlete at any level, really, about the relationships and network they are building?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think first and foremost, I think you need to control what you can control while you are in the current moment of being a student athlete. Work hard, hit the books, be yourself, and build this positive reputation. And then from there, outside of what you can control, I think it's extremely important to put yourself out there. Like I said, don't be afraid to reach out to people. Connections nowadays, like I said prior, it's all, the competition is so high, not only on the field and in the classroom, but once you get out of school, starting your career, It really is. It's all about who you know and networking and just trying to establish that network and meeting new people and trying to find a hook. I just say, don't be afraid to reach out to people.
That's great advice. And that's actually something that happened when I was talking with Becca, who obviously your coach at Quinnipiac, and, you know, she actually made a huge connection for me and my business, introducing me to McKenna Haas, who played rugby at Quinnipiac. She knew of what she was doing in the branding space, how she had built this company, C of E Athletics, which, by the way, there are now three Pliable athletes that are C of E Athletics brand ambassadors. They are making money selling athletic clothing that's made out of recycled material. I mean, that is just incredible to me. But that literally doesn't happen without Becca.
Right. You can't be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
You know, it can open up so many doors that you couldn't even dream of ever having the exposure to.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. Good for those athletes.
Yeah.
That's something that I never dreamt of either as a student athlete. I mean, the opportunities now for student athletes, it's incredible.
Yep. Yep. And two of them, by the way, are Quinnipiac athletes. So go Bobcats on that one.
Yeah, go Bobby.
and you'll get a chuckle out of this. One of the athletes is Katie Boudiette. She is the goalie, which of course you are a goalie. She's a goalie on the Quinnipiac women's ice hockey team. So she is crushing it right now. So.
Very good.
Yep. All right. So with name, image and likeness opportunities now available, I thought because, like I said earlier, because of your personality, your smile, your outgoing nature, I thought you would have absolutely crushed it back in the day with nil opportunities to build your brand. What would you have wanted to get for your first nil deal? Whether it was Eli's on Whitney, whether it was a brand you loved, like where were you going to go for your first nil deal?
Oh my gosh. I mean, as a goalie, I would have to say Oboe,
The
goalie equipment brand that every goalie wears. You know, that's what I wore since putting on pads when my parents first purchased my first set of equipment in eighth grade. It was all Oboe. That would be an incredible opportunity.
There you go. Perfect. And that, you know, that's another thing. What I think about it is, you know, these brands are looking for ambassadors. They would love to have a Division I athlete wearing their stuff, doing an Instagram reel, talking about why they love their pads, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah. I think that's perfect. By the way, Katie Boudiette is, she likes golf. So we're going to be going to talk to the Sleeping Giant golf course down at Quinnipiac. So,
nice.
So that'll be a good one. She's also going for Eli's too. We all love Eli's down there. So
maybe a little Ray and Mike's.
Yeah, there we are. We're working a little Ray and Mike's in there as well. You never know what's going to happen. She's going to talk to a photo place in Hamden because she wants to be a model. So she needs kind of a portfolio.
Yeah.
So it's going to be pretty cool to see what can happen.
Oh yeah.
All right. So let's talk about, because you have the perspective of, you know, being, a student athlete. Now, here you are, have you started a very successful career. Let's talk about what you're doing now and how maybe some of the relationships or the skills that you have developed, have really helped you in your career.
Oh yeah. Okay. So right now I work for a commercial property insurance company. So I work for AFM, which is under the FM Global umbrella, and I serve as like an account manager. So I manage a book of clients and I also sell property insurance policies. So, you know, I got to be honest, Greg, every time I've ever gone for an interview, when they see Division I athlete on my resume, it's an instant conversation talking point. And I think that coming out of school saying you were a four-year starter or four-year athlete, it just shows that you have a different skill set. You're able to bring these qualities that not everyone has the capability of bringing. You know, you're able to show that you can commit to something. Which is difficult these days. It shows that you're motivated and that you're driven, you're goal driven. It shows that you're a team player. And that is another huge quality that employers are looking for. So I think it gives you a huge leg up being a college athlete.
I would completely agree. And that's kind of why I talk about when you are an athlete, you have an athlete brand. And you already have that. So now it's like, how do you leverage that to build your career, start your network? What are you going to do with this kind of token, if you will? This is almost like, again, one of those cards you can show or you can play, which is, hey, that other person might hiring you might have played Division I sports. They might know exactly what you went through. And so I think that gives you just a huge leg up in building your brand. So let's talk about for you, Aaron, a mentor or person that might have impacted your career the most.
Oh, that's a loaded question. There's there's so many people. I mean, from start to finish, if you think about it, I mean, first and foremost, my parents, of course, they instilled a strong work ethic in me. They were such hard workers throughout their careers. And they taught me how to, you know, learn the importance of the value of a dollar and how to work for it. I would have to say, you know, my husband has always pushed me out of my comfort zone to go for job promotions that, you know, I kind of feel like maybe I'm not there yet. But, you know, he's always just pushed me and encouraged me. And in my actual company, I've been there for about 7 years. I've had the privilege of working with some extremely experienced folks. Two in particular have about 80 years of experience working at my company. They both just recently retired, and you know, they really taught me the ropes, and I'm forever grateful for being able to learn under them.
Yeah,
and again, it's not being afraid to ask them for advice and what would you do in this situation? You know, tell me about a time when this happened to you in your career. And tapping into that wealth of knowledge that 40 years each of experience has.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful. I can imagine that for sure. When there's someone with knowledge like that, you soak it in as much as you can. Yeah. So, and we see that too, with, you know, kind of, you think about a sports analogy, is if you're a freshman, you come in and you look at those seniors and you say, oh, okay, I'm observing what they're doing. I'm observing how they're leading. I'm observing that, okay, when I want to get to this level, or when I'm 3 years from now, this is how I need to lead. And so it's a good example.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember when I was a freshman coming into Quinnipiac, we had two seniors, and Courtney and Jackie. And I remember being in awe of their leadership skills. They were just such strong leaders. They knew when to have fun and when to get down to business. And, you know, I always tried to emulate that as well.
What are some ways that you can think of that you may have grown your personal brand, or used, like you said, your athlete brand, and maybe it's a time when it came in to be able to use it to your advantage? You know, was it during the hiring process, like you mentioned a little bit earlier, when, you know, maybe someone looked at you a little differently and said, oh, okay.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, Greg, every time I've ever interviewed for a job, it's always come up. I feel like people are intrigued by people who are able to commit to being a student athlete for 4 years. And, you know, especially if you're interviewing with somebody that was a former athlete or has kids in school, they like to hear, you know, tell me about your time. What was it like? And, you know, being out of school now for so long, it's brought me other opportunities. You know, I coach my kids and I also coach a local club team here in Massachusetts. And it kind of just got out word of mouth. I was a goalie and they asked me to be their goalie coach. So I've really enjoyed that the past few years.
I love hearing that. That's cool. Love that story. And I think that, boy, wouldn't. And then I think also too, that leads me into role models, right? So like right now, I really see a huge opportunity in women's sports. I think that more than ever, number one, I think that the brands around the country are starting to realize the potential and the value that women have in sports and the role they play, especially when you think about these young girls, the generation. I wrote an op-ed earlier this year about the 1999 women's soccer team and the impact that that had on this generation, okay? Mm-hmm. And now that same women's soccer team, if you will, is fighting now, not just on the field to get on TV. They're actually fighting for more than that. They're fighting for equal rights. They're really fighting for a lot of great things. And this next generation is coming up. They're seeing it. They're seeing, you know, now they're also going to see more female athletes because of name, image, and likeness, because they're going to be on Instagram. They're going to be influencers in this space. And I think it's just such a powerful way that we can grow the popularity of women's sports.
Oh yeah. I love turning on my TV and seeing the NCAA tournament at the end of the fall. That never happened when I was in school. I love asking to put it on in a restaurant when I'm out with my kids and say, let's watch, you know, Maryland, the playoff game versus BC. And it's just, it's so cool. It's, and it gives them something to be hopeful for. You know, they're used to seeing guys on TV, and it's just so different now. And it's wonderful to see. Yeah. Really
is. I think it's only going to continue to grow. And there's so much opportunity for growth, because if you think about it, with men's sports, it's always been the men's sports on TV. It's always been that that's what people have kind of been accustomed to. Like you said, in the restaurant, it's like that. That's a really good example, by the way, of like, hey, I would like to watch this. And now you have the opportunity to do that. But as you said, I think getting back to what's the worst that can happen, the person's going to say no. Like, what person's going to say no to someone who's in their restaurant, who's obviously a very strong female, feels strongly about being able to watch it? You know, they should be able to do that. And I'm great to hear that example. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's talk about the next big thing with you, or the next thing you're working on. I'm excited to even hear about this whole coaching thing with you. I think that that sounds really interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been coaching my kids since they were able to play sports. I live in Franklin, Mass. And this town, talk about competition. Holy smoke. You know, these kids come out of the womb with basketballs or field hockey sticks or hockey sticks in their hands. So they start sports early. I've been coaching my girls since they were in kindergarten. Love every minute of it. So we start season soon. I believe right after Labor Day. So, and then I coach club field hockey, as I said. That next week, we actually have a little preseason kickoff, a little training that we're doing a few days next week, and get the girls geared up for season. On a work front, you know, besides my regular everyday job, I belong to a committee for, it's called Women in Insurance in New England. The acronym is WINE. How fitting. And, and we have annual fundraisers for the Women's Lunch Place, which is a women's shelter in Boston. We have an upcoming golf event at Stowe Acres, October 6th. And we generate tens of thousands of dollars for these, from these events. And it just goes to such a wonderful cause, women that need assistance, whether they need a warm meal or maybe some clothing or perhaps assistance getting a job. And we've just really been able to help this shelter out so much. I ran the Boston Marathon last year, and I ran for the Women's Lunch Place, and I raised almost $10,000.
Wow.
So that was just, it feels good knowing that you're helping such a great cause.
Wow. That's amazing. You just like unpacked a whole bunch of stuff right there. That's an incredible story. I mean, I look at that and I'm about ready to sign up for the golf tournament. I it's funny you mentioned Stowe Acres. I used to have a junior membership there back in the day.
Did you really?
Yeah. Cause I played on the golf team at Lincoln Sudbury, and that was a good place for me to go over there. Cause it was kind of on the lesser, they have two courses, so you could kind of get, you know, a little bit of variety. So I'm going to take a look at my calendar for October 6th. I can tell you that.
I love it.
Then you just dropped the Boston Marathon on me. Like, oh yeah, I just ran the Boston Marathon. You know, like, that's an incredible accomplishment. Congratulations. Oh,
thanks. Yeah. It was a great experience, honestly, but one of the best days of my life. And I really enjoyed the training process as well. It's a massive commitment, but it was one of those bucket list items. And I'm only getting older, Greg. So I said, let's go. It was awesome.
And that's another thing I think about when, you know, you can talk about the conversation starter. Like, I've run the Boston Marathon, and you could run into somebody else, especially in Massachusetts, you know, the chances of running into somebody that have run the marathon. Yeah. And then they say, you know, oh my gosh, I ran the marathon too. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're chatting about everything else, you know, related to marathons. So,
For sure.
So that's really cool. Let's talk about this. Knowing everything we've kind of talked about today, what is your best advice for today's student athletes?
First and foremost, always strive to be the best version of yourself. I think that's really important. Always do a little bit of reflecting and you know, a little self-check-in. Make sure that you are being the best version of yourself that you can possibly be. I would say, you know, be respectful to your teammates, be a good teammate, be respectful to your coaches, be respectful to your opponents, have a positive attitude. I think having a positive attitude, that glass half full mentality, is so huge in life. And lastly, I would say just leave it all on the field. Give 110% every time you go out there, because it goes by fast. And, you know, you want to look back and reflect and say, you know, I always tried my hardest when I was on the field, and you know that you gave it all. That would be my advice.
Perfect. I like it. And I think that too, that's, you know, another opportunity for these athletes to realize that they have opportunities in front of them. And, you know, as I tell people, 2% of college athletes go on to play professional sports. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important that they kind of have, and I want to get your thoughts on this, you kind of have to have a plan for what's next, right? Like, I mean, I know one other thing to talk about that's kind of hot right now, and it's been a challenge, is what happens when it's over, Aaron, right? So like, you're like, I'm not going to the gym tomorrow. Like, I don't have to go to a workout. What? Wait a second. Yeah. And like, that can be a really hard transition, right?
Yeah. Big time identity crisis that people go through.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, you know, I had a unique experience when I graduated. I was still involved in US a little bit. And then I kind of had to make the decision to tap out, because it was based out of Virginia and I was going back and forth. And I ended up choosing to not continue to play. And I got a great job opportunity at Boston College. I coached there that fall after I graduated. So I was still involved in field hockey. And that gave me time to think about, do I want to continue in the field hockey world, or do I want to change careers? But yeah, I mean, I think the whole thing about, you know, building your brand and the likability and your image, and if you carry yourself in the right way throughout college and you have that positive attitude and, you know, you be the best version of yourself, that's going to carry over after college, because you've established these characteristics and these traits. This is who you are. And you've established this reputation, and this is how people view you as. It's going to just lead you into a beautiful career that's just going to continue to grow and develop the right way. Yeah, it depends on what kids want to do. Do they want to go into the coaching world? Do they want to go pro if they have the opportunity, or go into corporate America?
Yeah, so I think that those are really good points. And I think that that's exactly what a lot of these athletes, you know, maybe not even thinking about at this point, but it's something that needs to be on their radar. So I think that this conversation today kind of now comes full circle, where, you know, you talk about the opportunity to figure out what you want to do in life and be the best version of yourself, and you're developing a reputation. And I will close with this, because this is really how the idea for this interview actually started. Is that when I was at Quinnipiac on April 19th, I was there for a presentation to student athletes, and there's 500 student athletes at Quinnipiac. And I can tell you that far less than that showed up for the presentation I gave about athlete branding. But there was a piece of me that wanted to go over to that field hockey field where I had spent many of afternoons covering the team before, and obviously your success and all the other wonderful women that you played with. And I went over there and I ended up connecting with Becca again. And when she came over and gave me a hug, it summarized for me my 4 years at Quinnipiac of covering the team and how much she appreciated what I did when I did it, and the brand that I had built with her. I had no idea that I had made such an impact on her. And I think that's the opportunity that a lot of these athletes have now. And I didn't even play for her.
You know what, Craig? I can echo that. You were so dedicated to our team, and you genuinely enjoyed it. It was apparent. And I'm sure Becca recognized that as well. And, you know, seeing somebody 20 years later, she probably recognized you immediately, I'm sure.
Yeah.
She's that type of person.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I really value. Obviously, she's been there a long time.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you saying that, Aaron, because I did love every minute of it. That's why I traveled to the first NCAA playing game you guys had and everything like that. Yes. I mean, I remember that. Yeah. And the growth at Quinnipiac during that time period was incredible. I obviously had great memories with the hockey team and growing my broadcasting career and, you know, covering women's sports. I mean, literally from day one, I have wanted to cover women's sports just as equally as the men, because I see no difference. A sport is a sport. And I can tell you that I know female athletes that bust their butt a lot harder than some male athletes. So it's very important to me. It always has been. And I really appreciate you doing this interview and having you on the podcast. I think you're going to inspire a lot of other women and a lot of athletes to go after their dreams. And as I like to say, be a pliable athlete, because you never know, you know, where your career is going to take you.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Oh, thank you so much, Greg. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up our episode here with Aaron, I want to thank everybody for tuning in here today for the Athlete Brand Advisor podcast. As always, you can find us online at pliablemarketing.com. Well, that's going to do it for another episode, friends. I want to thank Aaron for joining us. I'm Greg Glenn. Glad you could tune in. Stay pliable, my friends.
Thanks for listening to the Athlete Brand Advisor podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes from today's episode and catch up on recent episodes at pliablemarketing.com. We also encourage you to share topics and guest ideas by emailing our production staff at pliablemarketing@gmail.com. We love hearing from our loyal listeners and athletes who want to grow their brand. So jump in and be part of the podcast, because that's how we roll.